You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
That's good. I've been told that Saturday morning there will be no breakfast. So let me pass that on to you. No breakfast. The church does that, and they're not having it this week, I guess because of the holiday weekend. Monday's Memorial Day, and so they'll not be having anything this coming Saturday morning. Anyway, we're so glad you're here. We appreciate you being here, and you're singing good. We have, I'm gonna tell you what, we got the best music in town. I really believe that. And anyway, we're gonna have some more good music. Ms. Dolores is coming, sing for us. Come right here. Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn there, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible? All right, we got some guys coming with them. While they're doing that, let me say this. If you don't have a Bible with you here, then just keep that one. That'll be the rec room's gift to you. We want you to have one. Now then, if you're going to turn that Bible in at the end of the service, will you take it and put it on the table at the back of the room so our people won't have to find them in the chairs and take them back there? We'd appreciate that. Acts chapter 8. I want to talk to you about getting it right. A few years ago, friend of mine called me to tell me that he had terminal cancer, and he began to weep a little bit, and we'd been friends a long time. We played football together in college. I was there the night he got saved. We called him Louis the Rat because he was so filthy. He'd come out of California. He was in the Navy. He'd made all-American Navy. And our coach finagled some kind of deal and got him with us. He was already had a pro contract, but he had to honor some things toward our coach. Anyway, God just really did a work on him. I remember him crawling down the aisle, weeping for God to save him. But anyway, that night he was very emotional, and he said, "Leland," he said, "I've failed at everything I've ever done." He said, "I've failed as a daddy. I failed as a football coach. I've failed as a husband. I've failed in business." And he listed things that he'd been a failure in, but here's what he said. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, "You know what, Leland? The only decision that makes a damn, I got right. I trusted Christ. I got that right." I want to talk to you tonight about a guy, unusual man in the Bible, and he's one of those guys that you won't know his name till you get to heaven. It just tells us who he was, but it doesn't give his name. And so we're going to start reading in verse 26. Philip is one of the deacons. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship." You know what a eunuch is? Anybody not know what a eunuch is? A eunuch is a castrated male. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were taken into Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had him castrated. That'll take the fight out of you. That'll take the rebellion out of you. This is what, and in fact, hold your finger there for a moment. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Because Jesus mentions that. I'm sorry, Matthew 19. And it verse 12, Jesus is speaking. He said, for there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, like they did Daniel. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They were different reasons and different purposes. I thought about that. Maybe it had been Bill Clinton probably do that. I just thinking about that. But this guy, and by the way, it's, I got on the internet, it's 1,580 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. This guy had come that far to worship. That's the only reason he came. He came to worship. We read, a man of Ethiopia. So he's a black man. He's not of the Jewish background. I'm sure in Ethiopia they had all kinds of idolatry. And yet he's become what's called a proselyte. He had accepted the Jewish religion as a Gentile. And most of us here are raised in the Bible Belt. We know about Christianity. There's probably been a Bible in every home. We've been exposed to Jesus Christ. Now let me say this. Just knowing that God sent his son to save the world doesn't get you saved. We have a lot more knowledge than we have obedience most of the time. And but this guy, he's come all this way just to worship. He's a man of great standing because he controls the money strings of the queen of Ethiopia. He's got to be a great man. We still don't know his name. You get to meet him in heaven. And he's one of those guys I'd like to meet. Let's keep reading. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, verse 28, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? How many times you read the Bible and didn't understand it? Yeah. And this is what Philip asked him. He said, you know what you're reading? Verse 31, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture he read was this. And this is a quote from Isaiah 53:7, if you want to mark it. He said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they come to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want you to know something about this guy. He had the right religion. It was God's religion, Judaism. He was not raised a Jew. He had to find that religion and accept. He got the right religion. Also, he was reading the right book. They've been doing a lot of research, and I get information from the Barna Research Company. They're a Christian organization that just checks the temperature of the people in America. And it's becoming less and less. The Bible means less and less to people. The Bible doesn't have much to say anymore to anybody. We don't pay much attention to it. We got all kind of books we can read, and then there's all kind of religions now in America. You got the Buddhist, you got the Muslims, you got the atheist. That's religion. They just believe in themselves. You got the New Age group. You got Hinduism. You got all of this. Now, owning a Bible and reading the Bible are two different things. Most of you got a Bible, or your family's got a Bible. You was raised with a Bible in the house. You may not can tell me. You know, somebody thought David's Five Stones was a rock group. We get into all this, but we don't know much Bible. We're kind of Bible illiterate. It's becoming less and less authority on anything. We've changed it in the last 20 years. America has done its best to change what the Bible teaches. It's amazing. There are 234 English translations of the Bible. I even got an advertisement on one here a while back called the Lesbian Bible. I couldn't wait to get my hands on that. You can get one and just whatever you want to practice and believe, you can find one that teaches it. I saw this cartoon, no more in a Christian bookstore, and asked the lady, he said, "You got any translation that's easier to obey?" That's kind of what I'm looking for. He was reading the right book. Also, when Philip got there, he asked the right question. He asked Philip, he said, "Is this man talking about himself or somebody else?" It intrigued him because it said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. This is why the Bible said that Philip preached to him Jesus. He didn't give him the church ordinances. He didn't talk to him about baptism. He didn't talk to him about communion. He didn't talk to him about the rosary. He didn't talk to him about any of those things. He talked to him about Jesus. You can have every religious deal going. You can join them all. But until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no place left for you but hell. Amen. That's just the truth, people. I'm going to be honest and upfront with you. And you say, "Well, I'll take my chances." Yes, you will. Because the Bible said we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to face him. You'll have your day in court. You say, "Well, wait a minute. I've done this and I've done that." Well, you get to tell him that. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. And you can do that voluntarily tonight, or you'll do that in eternity, but you will bow before the Lord and confess he is God. He is Lord and Savior. He asked the right question. And noticed, he said, "I need somebody to teach me. I need some help." And we all do. I didn't become a Christian just because I figured it out. I became a Christian because a guy showed me what it was like to be a Christian. And he talked to me about Jesus Christ. And I remember I come in one night, and it was on the weekend. I was in college. And it's in the, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd been out partying, and this guy was down. He was staying up studying for a test. I didn't know anybody ever studied for a test, but he was weird. Anyway, and I decided to straighten him out on some things, and that guy didn't fight fair. Everything I hit him with, he used a scripture. He did not discuss it. He did not argue. He just says, the Bible says. That's not fair. I want to put my intellect against yours, not against God's. You know, man alive. He taught me. You got to tell people. Nobody. Let me tell you, the only time your life really counts is when you're screwing up. Then everybody notices. You can get out here and live for the Lord. You can quit smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling, and all those good things, and nobody will notice. I remember I had a boss after I moved out here that he just quit smoking. And there were two types of people I hated to be around. That was somebody that quit drinking or they quit smoking because they preached to you all the time. Anyway, he was always preached to us. And we'd go into a sales meeting every morning, and all of them smoked with him, and he chewed us all out for smoking all the time. And God finally got a hold of me, and I quit smoking. And I didn't tell anybody. And the reason I didn't, let me tell you, I quit 2 minutes. Now, somebody said, you have a hard time quitting drinking. No, I quit every morning. It wasn't hard. It's staying quit that became a problem. Yeah. So I didn't tell anybody I'd quit smoking because I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. I knew me. But anyway, I'd been quit about 30 days, and he and I were making a call together, and he started on that smoking thing. And I told him, I said, Ken, I said, smoking doesn't bother you. That's you pay no attention to that. Oh, yes, it does. I can't stand it anymore. Finally, I said, you know what? He said, what? I said, I've been quit smoking 30 days. I'm with you 5 days a week, and you have not noticed it. Hey, this guy just give him the truth. He preached unto him Jesus. That's the only thing that will help anywhere at any time. And then I want you to notice down in verse 37, because then Philip asked him a question in verse 36. He said, they went on their way, they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Now, I hate to tell you this, but this verse is in many new Bibles is just omitted. It ain't even in there. They just skip from verse 36, 38. They can't even get the numbers right. But I want you to notice, he got the right answer. Because the scripture that he was reading in Isaiah had to do with Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And that's why Philip told him, this is, he's talking about Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross. And when Philip asked him if he believed, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe? I believe, he said. He's going home to heaven. Now, he's not going that day. He's going by way of Ethiopia. But see, he came to worship and then found the Lord. He had the right religion, he just didn't have the Savior. Now he's got the Savior. Isn't that simple? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that? I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. Nobody looking around. You're here tonight, and you've never told the Lord that you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You say, well, man, I don't even know whether there is a God or not. You want to gamble on that? Let me tell you something. I want you to think about this. If there was no God, if there were or was no Jesus Christ, and you went ahead and believed it, and then found out you were wrong, what did you lose? You didn't lose a thing. In fact, your friend had a better friend because you trusted Christ. Your family had a better family member. Your boss had a better worker. You had all these things. But now let's flip that over. Let's turn that around. Let's say there is Jesus Christ. There is a heaven. There is a hell. The Bible is true. And you neglect it. You ignore it. And you may not be doing that real deliberately. You just say, well, later, Leland, one of these days. Somebody said this, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If you miss it, what have you got to lose? All eternity. My, don't take that chance. You'd say, Leland, pray for me. I want to be saved. Would you just slip your hand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quickly, yes, I see yours and yours. Yeah. You can slip them up, slip them back down when I recognize it. Anyone else? Real quickly, I want to be saved. Yes, I see your hand and yours. Yes, yours. All right. Our Heavenly Father, you've seen the hand of these people. And Father, just as that Ethiopian eunuch, with all the different strikes against him, tonight, you will still perform the same miracle. Father, I pray for these that have lifted their hand. And right now, while I'm praying, I pray they'll say yes to you. I pray they'll say to you, Lord, I believe you. I want you as my Savior. I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. As Brother Charles starts on the very first verse of Just As I Am, I want you to come and say, I trust Christ as my Savior. Will you come right now?
Just
come on, guys, come on. Yeah, come right on. Come on. Come on.
But that your blood,
come out of him, yeah. Come on.
Was shed for me, and that you may,
come out of him.
Come to me,
O Lamb of God, I come.
God,
it's between you and him. It's not between you and I. It's between you and him. Would you come on this verse? Come on.
Just as I am.
soul of one dark spot, will you come? Play softly. You lifted your hand a while ago, or maybe you didn't. But you know in your heart of hearts what you need to do. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, in a very precious time, would you come right now? Meet one of our men down here at the front. And they'll show you exactly how you can be sure that you're going to heaven. Will you come right now while the musicians are playing? Come on.
Just as I am, though tossed about
with many a conflict, many a doubt, would you come?
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.